Good evening. Welcome to our service. Let's take our hymn books together, please. 664. 664. It is glory just to walk with Him. Let's stand tonight as we sing 664.
It is glory just to walk with Him. His love transcends me. It is rapture.
We're glad that you're here tonight. Pastor McDonald, you come.
Do you feel it? Do you feel the love tonight? It's here. I tell you, it's gonna be here. Just welcome to Bethel Baptist Church, our evening service. I hope you get a blessing out of it. I hope you do feel loved and welcome here. I was just watching CNN News just before we came, just about a half an hour ago, and across the bottom of the screen, if you see it there, if you ever watch CNN on the TV there, it said a new species of frog has been discovered in South New Jersey. Has anybody seen that? Anybody? So I immediately ran to the computer, checked it out, and sure enough, it does not croak like other frogs do. It makes groaning sounds and coughing sounds. So I went on the internet, and it does. It coughs and it groans and stuff like that. And I just think, man, praise God. What a diversity. Every time scientists think they've seen it all and they figure it out, God says, aha, have you checked out that frog coughing over there? Because that's exactly what was going on. And I was so excited about it. I got, woo. I got chilled all over the place. It was great. All right, Brother John, if you'd pray for tonight's offering.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can come and gather here and help you again tonight. We ask, Lord, that you will bless the pastor and the preachers, bless our offering, and support the work here at home and our missionaries around the world. Be with those that have gathered here tonight. We ask, Lord, that you'll just be with us in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Agapus Hill, sent to do his Father's will, a man called Jesus laid down his life for you and me. I don't know what I could have done if God had not sent us his Son. How could I ever be?
Number 82 in your hymn books. Let's join in song and stand tonight as we sing number 82, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let's stand together. Number 82, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Thank you. set the sinner free. Shepherds wonder at the mystery, wise men come from distant lands. Heaven and earth in the fall of Jubilee. A child is born, who is great I am. A child is born, the Son of God, the Lamb. The King of kings, the Lord of lords is He. Yes, a child is born. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, a son is given, a child is born.
Now let's enter him again, please. Hymn number 54. Number 54, oh, how I love the Savior's name. Number 54, let's stand as we sing. We'll sing the first and the last. And then we're going to sing number 56, His Name is Wonderful. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. Number 54.
Over, the sun rises over Bethlehem. The silence of centuries of waiting has ended with a song. Glory to God in the highest. The world will never be the same. God has come to us as a helpless baby. Morning is broken, and it's the dawn of redeeming grace.
Lift up your hands, no need.
Enjoying this ensemble. Isn't that good music? You know, that takes a lot of practice. They come in here Saturday nights, and I think last night they were here a couple hours practicing just one song. And so to think that you can just get up and sing and do whatever, it takes a lot of practice to do a good job to honor the Lord. And so I appreciate that, and I encourage others, learn from that example and practice what you're doing, and do your very best to be pleasing to the Lord. If the very best you have is to sing off key, then make a loud and joyful noise. Amen. And go ahead and do that. But if you can do better, we should try to do better. We should always try to give the Lord our best. I appreciate the ensemble very much. They work hard, and that sounded very, very good tonight. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I understand that some of you are concerned about the Grey Cup. I am not. I'm not a CFL fan. I say that, but I still would like to see Hamilton win. But I don't want to split the church, so I won't talk about that. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. You know, when I was in college, it was sad that on Super Bowl Sunday, college students training to go into full-time ministry would skip church to go watch the Super Bowl. I couldn't understand it. We'd go to church and there'd be literally two or three students there instead of 20 or 30.
And they were at Super Bowl parties on a Sunday night. Church night. Am I the only one? I mean, listen. What would you think if I didn't show up on Super Bowl Sunday? Well, these young men were training for the ministry too. That's not a good thing. I'll tell you this. One time, I guess it was about 10 years ago, I got sick. I mean, really sick. And it was Super Bowl Sunday. And I never heard the end of it. And wouldn't you know, I did not get sick again until the next Super Bowl Sunday. I was so sick, I went in church and preached anyway. And they put a bucket under the pulpit for me. But I was not going to miss a service while the Super Bowl was on, amen? And I won't miss when the Grey Cup's on. I just don't care about the Grey Cup. So, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I hope tonight that if... I understand it's Grey Cup, but I hope we'll have some men that will come and help us put up the Christmas tree tonight. If you cannot stay, I understand, but we do need about 10 men to move the piano. And that'll only take 2 minutes. If you would come up after the service and help us for 2 minutes, move the piano in the very least, and then we can get the Christmas tree up. Mr. Baker says there's lots of little things, little lighter things that the ladies can carry. I don't mean to insult you. I know some of you ladies can carry probably more than some of the men. I get that. But there's jobs for you as well if you'd like to come and help. And we'll get as much done tonight as we possibly can. And there's pizza for whoever's staying. So if that helps get you in here, we're going to have some pizza at about 8:30 tonight. Mr. Baker says, we'll make them work an hour and a half before we get the pizza. That way they won't leave. And so smart man. Matthew chapter 25. Let's look at the Word of God tonight. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you, and we're looking forward to tonight having some fellowship as we put the Christmas tree together. We pray that you keep us safe, watch over those that are climbing in the high parts, and Lord, just help it to come together quickly. I pray that you bless our time before that now in the Word of God. May we be faithful to expound upon it. Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit that we might learn what God has for us tonight. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In this parable, we don't have to guess what the Lord is talking about. The Bible very plainly says in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ has left this earth and he has traveled back to be with his Father. But the Bible says at the end of this passage that the Master will return, and we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. The Bible also says that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. Each of us were given a gift, and those things that God has given us, they're really not ours at all. They belong to the Lord, and we are to be faithful stewards of what God has given us. I want to draw your attention to some observations tonight as we read this passage. The Bible says in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." I want you to notice quickly tonight, the Bible says that when this man was traveling and leaving, he called his own servants. The Bible does not say he called some of his servants or a portion of his servants or the leadership of his servants. The Bible says he called his own servants. And so from that we can understand that he called all of his servants together and he gave every man something. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. But every man without exception received a gift from the master. Let me ask you tonight, just to make sure we're all on the same page. How many of you tonight would say, you know what, Pastor, I'm born again, child of God, I'm saved. Raise your hand. Amen. I think it's probably almost everybody. Does that make us servants of the master? Sure ought to, amen. We all, every one of us, should be servants of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I mean, think about what He has done for us. The Bible says, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth. For consider how great things He hath done for you. Look at all what the Lord has done for us. There's another verse in the New Testament. That was 1 Samuel 12:24. Romans 12 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in light of all that He's done for you, to present your bodies a living sacrifice." We are to give to the Lord because He has given to us. We are to be servants unto Him. And the Bible says that every man in this story tonight, every man without exception, received a gift from the Master. Do you understand that when you got saved, you received a birthday gift? Everybody got a gift from God, a spiritual gift. We could turn to 1 Corinthians. We don't have the time tonight, and we could show you all those spiritual gifts, but each of you have one of them. You have something that has been given to you from God. Now, the Bible says every man in this story was given a gift, and I believe that every person that is saved has been given a gift because we too are servants. Now, though it is not stated at the beginning of the chapter, it is obvious that the master is expecting a reckoning of those gifts. The Lord is returning. Amen? And the Lord is returning in judgment. And He wants to know, what have you done with the gifts that I have given you? The talents were not given so that these men might spend them frivolously. These talents were not given for their leisure or for their entertainment. Now listen to me, here's what they were given for. These talents were given to carry out the work of the master in His absence. Now is this starting to sound more and more like what the Lord has done with us? Remember I told you we don't have to guess what this is about. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country. God didn't want us to guess about this. He is saying, this is what's going on in your lives. I have left and I've given gifts unto you. I've given talents unto you and they are to be used. Now in this scripture, talents were literally money. But I want to talk tonight in a more general sense of the things that God has placed in our hands. Those things that God has entrusted us with and we are to be stewards. And what is required of stewards in the Bible? That a man be found what? Faithful. We are to be faithful stewards. The master is returning. Now, from the actions of the wise and the faithful servants, it is obvious that God wants a reckoning. But it's also obvious from the wicked and slothful servant that God wants us to give an answer. Here's another observation. Those who were faithful stewards of the talents that were delivered into their hands were rewarded. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be honest. Yeah. We had our Christmas dinner last week, our staff Christmas dinner, and we had with our deacons. So staff and deacons got together and we went and had Chinese food together. And Pastor McDonald and Cindy got some games together for us to play. And I went out and bought the prizes for the game. Cindy said, well, we need some prizes. And I said, I got to go to the store anyway. I'll pick up some stuff. And so I got some boxes of chocolates and things like that. And so halfway through we played the first game, and I played and tried to win and didn't. Halfway through the second game, I got looking at that, and I thought, wait a minute. I know what the prizes are. I really don't want a box of chocolates that badly. So I sat down. I let other people win, you know, because if I play, I'm going to win, right? You know, and no. But I thought, I don't care. I know what the prizes are. I don't care if I win one. I'm going to sit back, and I'm just going to let others win. And so I just started visiting with Rob, because you can imagine Rob doing word puzzle games, amen? And so Rob and I were just visiting, and others were doing it, and they won the prizes. But I'm going to be honest with you. There are some prizes I want to win. Amen? They are not of this world. And the greatest prize is not that the master came back and said, I'm going to make you ruler over many. The greatest prize was to hear the master say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And by the way, that's an ongoing thing in our lives. We just can't turn it on at the end of our life and try to cross the finish line and say to somebody else, there is no finish line. We are to fight the good fight. We are to run the race. We are to complete it. It's not about finishing first. It's about being faithful. You need to notice something tonight. The fellow that wisely took care of the 5 talents was rewarded in the same way as the man who wisely took care of the 2. You know, we all have different gifts and abilities, don't we? We really do. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing? Wouldn't it be a horrible thing if we got to heaven one day and the Lord said to Judy Judge, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you sang every month and you glorified my name, and some poor creature's back here going, I can't sing a tune in a bucket. How am I ever going to find the faith? It's about what you did with your talents and what you did with your gifts to glorify the Lord with. The Lord gave varying gifts and varying talents. The Bible says, if you look at the chapter in 1 Corinthians 10 about the gifts and the talents, He divides severally as He will. It's up to Him who gets what gift. But the Master is coming back, and He's expecting a reckoning. Now, there's some things because of these observations tonight that we need to determine in our life. Here's the first thing. Who owns everything you possess? Who does it belong to? I one time asked a question in church service. We were talking about the tithe, and I said, well, let me ask you this. How much of your paycheck belongs to you? And somebody yelled out, well, 90%. The truth is, all of it belongs to God. Everything is His. He's just given us a portion. The funny thing is, the Bible says He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but I don't see God's brand on any of them. He lets us use them. He lets us be stewards of what He has given us. And that goes for our gifts and our talents and the things that God has placed in our hand. We need to determine who is it that owns everything you possess. Sometimes, you know, God gave us a new van last September. And if somebody comes along and says, Pastor, I need to go pick up some kids. I don't have enough room. Take our van. It's yours. Because it's God's. It's not ours. God didn't give it to us for us to park it in our driveway and say, no, you can't go pick up those kids for church. And let me tell you, kids are hard on a vehicle. Every time I come, there's things from their nose on the seats, and it's a mess. They kick things, they break things. My airbag isn't working because they got their foot under the seat and unplugged the sensor and all kinds. But hey, that's God's van. And He's going to provide. He's going to take care of it. So we're just supposed to be faithful stewards of what He's going to do. I'd hate to get to heaven one day and God said, you know what, that little kid would have got saved if you just let somebody use your van and bring him to church. Man, wouldn't that have been a foolish move? Who is it that owns everything you possess? And those things that I do have, am I using them for God's glory? That's the second question we need to ask. Here's the third. When the Master returns, will He be pleased? Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 is a great verse, and it says this. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as His work shall be. The Bible doesn't say He's coming with a reward to give to every man according to what he did for the past 50 years. He's looking for what He's finding you doing now. What His work shall be. Boy, there's a lot of people who say, well, I used to teach Sunday school and I used to ride the bus and I used to do this and I used to do that. And I understand that our roles and our ministries will change from time to time and God will move us from place to place. But friends, there is no retirement in the service of the King. We are to keep doing for the Lord and using our gifts and talents for Him. I'm going to tell you this, it encourages me every time Butch Thorson gets up to sing. I teased him. He came down to when we first purchased the building in 2004 down in Hamilton. We bought a building and we were moving in that night and we had different churches come and Butch came to sing that night. And I was teasing him that night. I said, you know, when I was a little boy, I used to think King David wrote the songs and Mr. Dorson sang them for him. And somebody else said he was like George Beverly Shea. Well, he was 105 years old. But doesn't it encourages me to know that 60 and 70 years, every month, first Sunday of the month, Brother Dorkson's going to be right there. Faithfully doing what God is. He said, well, he doesn't sing like he used to. He'll be the first to tell you that. But he's still using his gifts for the glory of the Lord. That's what it's about. Using what God has blessed him with and given him with. And I thought I get just as much blessing sitting there watching Mrs. Dorkson mouth the words. Something that's not been taken from her. And trying to sing along the harmonies with her husband. We are to use our gifts because when the Lord comes, He's going to give to every man according as his work shall be. Now the thought that has consumed me is not the prize, but I want to know, is the Lord going to say, well done, and thou good and faithful servant? Let me ask you this question tonight. Are you willing to do what it takes to hear those words? Are you willing to give of yourself and the gifts that God has given you and use them in a faithful way that God will bless you? You know, this is not a new concept. Let's be honest. Our children, as they were growing up, they'd say, Dad, come and look at this. Bethany writing her name for the first time. Kids riding a bike for the first time or whatever. They want to please you. Shouldn't we want to please our Father? Using those gifts and talents that He has given us. You know, there are some things that have been given to you and delivered into your hand. I want to give you three things tonight. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. How many of you, all you can think about right now is that pizza? That's not good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, or chapter 2, sorry, verse 4. Some of the things that have been delivered into our hands, you understand that what God puts in our hands, that is what we are to be stewards of. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, read verse 1, For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak. God has given it to us. That's what we're going to preach. God has entrusted you tonight with the Word of God. Think about that. Often we think of stewardship and we think of money. We think of, God wants my 10%. God wants my missionary gift. God wants my offering. And listen, it's a wonderful thing to be able to give. When I used to hear Dr. Roy Thompson used to say, when God saved me, He saved my pocketbook too. I think that's a good principle. God's people ought to be a giving people. For God so loved the world that He gave. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that it shows the proof of our love when we give. It shows the sincerity of our love in verse 29 of chapter 8 when we give. That's an important thing. But I want to show you tonight that God has put some things in our hands that He wants us to be stewards of. And one of them is the Word of God. We ought to be faithful in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I told you last year I was in Canadian Tire, and at the very front of the store, it says a great big banner. I mean, it must be 30 feet long and 10 feet high. And it says, Canada's Christmas Store. How many of you seen that banner? I think it's on the front of the building when you walk in too. Canada's Christmas Store. I went through the cash register and I paid the girl and I said, well, have a Merry Christmas. We don't say that here. I said, I've never seen the word so big in my life. I said, it's right there on the wall. Hey, don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Say Merry Christmas. The very breath that the atheists breathe is because of the grace of God. So tell them about Jesus Christ. We have been entrusted with the Word of God, sowing seed, reading it, learning it, and being able to give an answer to every man of the hope that lies within us. We've been delivered the Word of God. We've been given a walk with God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, just over a page. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye, as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. And look at the promise here. So ye would abound more and more. When our walk pleases God, we abound more and more. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you know that when you're living right and you're reading your Bible and you're praying and you're trying to walk in the Spirit, life just goes so much easier? There was a fellow that years ago wrote a journal, and I think his name was Frank Lombach. I'm sorry, it's hard for me to remember his name for some reason. Frank Lombach, as I believe is his name. And he had actually lectured one time at McMaster University. He was a scientist of some sort, but he was a born-again Christian. And one day he decided that he was going to strive to walk in the Spirit of God. And so he began to keep a journal because he wanted to keep track. He wanted to know where he went off track. And so he says, in the morning, before my feet touch the floor, I'm going to pray and make sure that my first step is walking in the Spirit. He said, boy, that first morning was hard. He said, I laid in bed 2 hours trying to get my head right, my heart right, so that I could step out and make sure that I was walking in the Spirit of God. And he says, boy, he says, I'd go for 10 minutes and I'd have to pray some more. And I'd go a little bit further and have to pray some more. And you could read his journal as it progressed. After 6 months, he says, I can't do it for a whole day yet, but someday I hope I will. After about a year, his journal said something like this, and I'm paraphrasing. He says, my steps are lighter. The air I breathe seems cleaner. Things that are an effort to everybody else seem so easy to me now. Oh, what a joy there is to walk in the Spirit of God. The only thing I fear is that I would lose God for but a moment. We have been given the opportunity to walk with God. We're to be stewards of that walk. That is something God has placed in our hands. I'm talking about holiness and separation and church attendance and our prayer life. And listen, all the money that you give won't mean a thing if your heart isn't right with God. All the things that we do for the Lord have to be done with the right spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, as we refer to that passage already, do you know why that offering was such a blessing? Because in verse 5 of chapter 8, it says they gave of their own selves first. They gave their lives. They had to beg Paul to take the offering. Paul says, I can't. He said, but they beseeched me with much entreaty that I would receive the offering. What a people. Because they had given their lives to God, they wanted to be a blessing and a help. We've been given the Word of God. We've been given a walk with God. We've been given a witness for God. Matthew chapter 5 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. What are we using our gifts and our abilities and our talents for? Are we bringing glory to the Lord? Are they seeing Jesus Christ? I don't know about you, but Mrs. Wood's testimony struck me this morning to think that there's a child in Norfolk County who never knew what a Bible was. What a crying shame. Isn't that sad? You know what that tells me? That when they walk into the Walmart and they see you there with a smile on your face and humming a little Christmas carol, that might be the only Bible they get to see. That might be the only gospel witness they ever have. We must be faithful. God bless that little girl that invited her to church. We have been given the opportunity to tell people what Jesus... What a wonderful thing. Aren't you glad that somebody told you? Aren't you glad that you got saved? I've been saved now for 37 years. Boy, it sounds weird to say that. I'm so thankful that somebody told me as a child that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. Oh, don't say the word sin. Hey, you can't get saved unless you're lost. Jesus Christ didn't die for champions and heroes. The Bible says, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We can't mince words about it. I'm thankful somebody told me. I was able to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Listen, God has given, I've just given you three. God has given us so much and blessed us with so much. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that God hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God has given you some gifts. God has placed some things in your hands. And we are to be stewards, and it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The Master is coming. And He's looking for a reckoning. It is a shame to think that after God has given us everything that we need, that we are not pleasing Him with what He has given us. How important are those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? How important is the smile of God? I read in the Bible of a character, maybe it's a strange thing to you, I don't know, but one of my Bible heroes is a fellow by the name of Job. There's a lot of good fellows in the Bible, a lot of people that did a lot of good things for the Lord, but when the devil came before God and God was entertaining the children of men there, and the devil came and showed himself, he says, "What have you been doing?" "Well, I've been roaming to and fro on the face of the earth." He conveniently left out the part, "seeking whom I may devour." But the devil was roaming to and fro. And God said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, a perfect and an upright man, one that escheweth evil?" And God just put His spotlight on his life. Now, boy, I don't know if I'd want God to do that, right? Because, boy, the devil attacked, didn't he? He said, "I'll show you God." God gave him grace that was sufficient to sustain all of those attacks and go through all those battles. I don't know if I could do the same with as much grace. But Job was a hero because he trusted the Lord through it all. The Bible says not once did he raise his voice against God. You say, why? Because he said this, "The Lord hath given, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job understands what so many of us forget. Everything I have is because of what God has given me. He's placed it in my hands. If the Lord wants to take it, that's okay. And didn't the Lord give it all back to him again anyway? God blessed him greater in the end than he was ever blessed in the beginning. But he was a faithful steward of what God had given him. How important are those words, "Well done"? What are we doing with the gifts God has given us to bring Him glory and honor and praise? Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for all the many wondrous blessings You've given us each and every day. Father, we pray that You'd help us tonight, Lord, to be faithful in stewarding our lives, that we might be taking care of those things that You've put in our hands, some that we've thought of, the Word of God, a witness for God, a walk with God. Lord, may we navigate our lives properly because we are faithfully stewarding those things that You have given us by the Holy Spirit. Father, there's so much else You've given us and trusted us with. Father, help us to be faithful with it. And we'll give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed and pianos begin to play. Brother Baker, would you sing the first verse of that hymn? If God has spoken to your heart, would you step out and calm this altar's open even now? let's do this tonight. Let's sing one hymn and we'll be done. 521. 521. By and by, when I look on His face, I'll wish I had given Him more. What a great thought to challenge our hearts tonight. Let's sing that verse. I'll wish I had given Him more. Sing the first verse with me.
By and by, when I
just for a moment. We're just going to give you a couple of announcements very quickly. Don't forget, 2 weeks from now is our Living Christmas Tree. Pray for the choir and those actors that are performing in the drama. And take some flyers with you. Invite some friends. It's important that we do our very best to get the gospel out. And so that's just 2 weeks from now. We'll already be in the middle of it. And I talked to some folks today at a birthday party that are coming to that. And so we're thankful for that. And so don't forget about that. Young people, don't forget your team visitation Wednesday night at 5 o'clock. And then this Friday night is a gym night. Ladies, you're going on a shopping trip this Saturday, going to Buffalo, 18 years and over. And the bus is leaving the church at 7 a.m. and coming back that evening. Just $5 to help out with the gas, all right? And then tonight we're going to put up the Christmas tree, so we need your help with that. If you will stay behind, we'd appreciate that so much. And again, men, if you can't stay very long, if you could just help us move the piano, we'd appreciate that so much. And then don't forget, at the end of the month, we have a family skate, December 21st, following the evening service. $2 a person, $6 a family, and I guess they're still going to play some hockey later on that night after that. So good activities coming up. Mark your calendar for that. All right, let's stand and be dismissed with a word of prayer. And then, men, if you need to change or whatever you need to do, and then we're going to get to work right away. All right, Mr. Kevin Wood, would you lead us in prayer and close our service tonight, please? Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.